Amen. We certainly say amen to what we've heard this morning. Well put. And I'm very thankful that there is now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why is there no condemnation? Legally and positionally, because Jesus Christ paid for every charge against God's elect. And therefore, no one, nothing can lay any charge, amen, to God's elect. And we certainly rejoice in that this morning. There's an expression in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to turn to it. It is written, and that expression is there in the principle of it, to let everything be confirmed, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That principle is all through God's Word, and that is taught and fully established. And I'm glad this morning that we have the witness of the Spirit. We have the witness in heaven. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We have the witness in the earth. We have the witness of God's Word. We have the witness of the apostles. And in 1 John chapter 1, starting with the address of this epistle, of this letter, is concerning the revelation of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." This is the old aged Apostle John writing by divine inspiration. Amen. Reminding the children of the Lord, the disciples of Jesus Christ, of the apostles' witness, the apostles' declaration that they had handled, that they had seen, that they had been there, that they had experienced the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, they enjoyed something in that context that we never have experienced. They saw visibly, they saw physically. They were there in an actual way with the Lord. And we have their witness, we have their testimony of the realization of Jesus Christ. Now notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, here in verse 16 and verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 1. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice what the Apostle Peter says. What we've declared to you, what we've said unto you, is not a bunch of lies. It's not a bunch of fairy tales. It's not a lot of things made up. That's what he's saying when he's talking about cunningly devised fables. "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Talking about the coming of Christ into this earth, and the Lord's life, the Lord's death, the Lord's resurrection, the Lord's ascension back to heaven. John witnesses, as we read to you in the beginning of his epistle, "I've seen him. I've laid my head upon his breast. I've handled of him. I've listened to him. I've been with him." And now the Apostle Peter is making the same statement statement in telling the disciples of the Lord. This is not cunningly devised fables. These are not lies. These are not fairy tales. These are not something that we've got up in and of ourselves. But Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. The Word, the Son of God, was made flesh and condescended and came down to this earth. I noticed the elder making the expression and talking about traveling down 411, and I thought to myself, well, we travel up 411. But that's geographically. He has to come down 411. He's coming down. We have to come up 411 geographically to come here to the same place, to this physical geographical place. But I want to tell you, coming to this physical geographical place, this is the house that houses the house. But we have come up anytime that you actually are in the spiritual experience of the house of God. It's always a coming up. It's never a going down. You've got to come up, for the mountain of the house of the Lord is established in the top of the mountain, and said the nations would flow unto it. You know, usually when you think about something flowing, you think about the gravitational pull and it going down. Amen. But I want to tell you, this is a pull upward of the flow, amen, of God's people from all the different geographical places, far as in a physical realm, though, but to come in a spiritual sense, to come up to the house of the Lord. This is a spiritual experience that we are experiencing this morning if we're made to be lifted up and sit together in a heavenly place. It's not based upon human experience and human ability and human talents. Amen. Even though a person may be talented to sing, but if we don't sing with the Spirit, the Scripture tells us, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what the Lord looks for. That's what the Lord is looking at. Oh, it's those not by nature, not by physical ability of what a person can do, but to be in the Spirit. I believe when John said there in the revelation that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, caught up into something in the Spirit. It was in that spiritual experience that he beheld, and he saw all the things that he did see. Dear brothers and sisters, if we see the Lord Jesus Christ, if we see him through the lattice, if we're to get a glimpse of him, it'll be by the Spirit. It won't be by a natural eye. It won't be by a natural ear. It won't be by the natural fleshly heart. But it'll be by the Spirit. The Scripture teaches us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Just as John, the Apostle John, talks about being an eyewitness of Christ, Peter says, I'm an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen him. He's real. He is the Son of God. Peter's going to go into an experience in the next verse whereby he gained great assurance, whereby he gained great insight into the person of Christ, of who he is. He said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and this voice voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now we're getting kind of down to the meat of it, to what the Apostle Peter is bringing the attention of the disciples of Christ to, and of the eyewitness and the testimony of Christ. Peter says, we heard the voice. This voice came unto him. We heard that voice. The voice came unto Christ and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now your mind may think about the time when the Lord was baptized. And yes, what a wonderful time that was. And what a great testimony from heaven when John the Baptist baptized Jesus there in the midst of the Jordan River and put him down beneath the wave, representing beneath, down, and raised him up. And the voice from heaven came forth and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But this is not the time in this context that Peter's referring to. Peter is referring to the time when he was on the mount, of what we call transfiguration, where there was the testimony, amen, where there was a great lessons that was taught to that inner circle of the apostles. You see, there was a little set of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, within the overall set of the apostles. We see with Jairus' daughter, who did the Lord bring into the house with him? He left all others out, but he brought in Peter, James, and John. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, who were the ones, that inner circle in the garden of Peter, James, and John? Other occasions we could talk about, but the Lord took Peter, James, and John up into the mount where the Lord was transfigured. Now remember the statement that I made to start with. Let everything be established. Let everything be certified. Let everything be witnessed by two or three witnesses. So you see, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's three witnesses. But yet these three witnesses, Peter, James, and John, and of the glorious thing that they saw that took place there, dearly beloved, even the Lord told them, you don't tell this, you don't talk about this until after my death and after my resurrection. Oh, but thank God it was told then, and we have it recorded, and we have this glorious experience of the transfiguration on the mount, there in the mount. What better a place, what more appropriate place geographically for it to take place. The Lord left the multitudes and the other disciples down below and took Peter, James, and John, and they went up into the mount. You remember in the Old Testament, it was Moses, and he went up into the mount. It was up in the mountain there where he received from God, and it was there on the cliff of the rock on another occasion when he desired to see God, and God had told him that he would allow him, he would suffer him to see his backside. He hit him in the cliff and covered him, and he passed by, and it was so glorious. Moses' face did shine forth that the children of Israel, it was such a fright for them to even to look upon. But it's here in a high place. And dearly beloved, if we're going to see the glory of God, if we're going to see, get a little glimpse, remember they came and said, we would see Jesus. Oh, that we would see him. And I want to tell you, if you have a great desire, an honest desire, a true desire, if you have a hungering and thirsting desire to see him by an eye faith. Oh, he will bless you in your heart's eye. Amen. To get a glimpse of him, to see his beauty, to see his character, to see his holiness, to see his majesty, to see of his greatness. And in that we certainly are overwhelmed and feel to be less than nothing. Oh, in the sight of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, Peter goes on, and I don't have time to go into these other verses because I want to talk a little bit more about this time that the Lord manifests and shows for some things unto them there in that Mount of Transfiguration. Three places in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find this account. And in Matthew chapter 17, you'll find that this Mount of Transfiguration experience, that it takes place after the occasion of Our brother read it from Luke. Most of the time we read it and think of it in Matthew chapter 17. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" There in Matthew chapter 16, our elder read that. And the Lord talked to them about some other things. Jesus foretells his passion. And of course, Peter rebukes the Lord here in this, in verse 21 down through verse 23. And then Jesus goes into about, "If you'll follow me, deny yourself," and so forth. And then the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 17 that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now, I believe it's also in Mark that says it was 6 days. In Luke, it says that it was 8 days. Somebody would say, "Well, there's a discrepancy there." No, I believe that what Luke was doing in his writing, he was counting the day as one day when Jesus spake unto them there in Caesarea Philippi and asked them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then you have 6 days, and then he counted the day that they went into the Mount of Transfiguration, and that would have been the 8th day. So that would account in Matthew and in Mark is counting the 6 days in between, not counting the first day as the day when Jesus said to them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And was not counting the day of going into the Mount. Luke counted those 2 days also. The Word of God, there's no discrepancy in it. There's no error in God's Word. You're not going to find God missing the mark. God's not able. He's not capable of missing the mark. His nature will not allow him to miss the mark. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, I may not know how to rightly divide every text. I may not know how to interpret and to get and either get the actual interpretation or the spiritual interpretation. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. It just means I don't see it yet. You understand that? Oh, we just don't see it yet. Amen. It's there, though. So I hope that if you've ever thought about why did Matthew and Mark say 6 days and Luke say 8 days, I hope that will help you right there, amen, to be able to harmonize that together. So after 6 days, these 6 days in between that day that he told them there in Caesarea Philippi, and then the 8th day when he actually took them up into the mountain, he did take Peter, James, and John, and they went up into that mountain. And in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 6, chapter 17, then you're going to find where the scripture goes right into it, tells us that the Lord was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, I don't have time, but if I invite you, though, to read in Mark and read in Luke, you're going to read about Fuller Soap. You're going to read about Fuller Earth, so forth. You're going to get these other expressions about how white he was. What is being expressed, what is being taught us unto this? It says, when he was transfigured before them, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And these other expressions that the other writers wrote concerning about how white it was and how bright that it was. You see, the Lord did not lose his natural body when this took place, but some way, somehow, amen, his inner deity came forth and shined forth through him, amen, through his face, through the outside, and shined through his clothes, amen, that these expressions, the reason you have these expressions, he was transfigured, amen, a part of his glory was revealed there at this particular time. There was a little foretaste that was shown forth of the glory of the deity that was before them. Now, Peter has already said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had said this 8 days before. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So Peter already had a revelation in his heart, amen, of who Jesus was, that he indeed is the Son of God with power, that he and that the Word is made flesh. So here, amen, the Lord shows a little glimpse and gives an opportunity to further establish the faith of these witnesses of Peter, James, and John in this remarkable experience that they see on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then, of course, after Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ," then as we came on down through Matthew 16, and you see there when the Lord spoke to them about going to Jerusalem and again about his death, Peter rebuked him.
Yeah.
"Oh, no, Lord, not so, Lord." You can be on a spiritual high, amen, here in a few moments, and then before you know it, just a few minutes later, you can be down low. It can go just that quick. It's amazing to me. Some folks, I reckon, they get enough of church, enough of spiritual things and the worship of God once a month or whatever. I tell you, I need every Sunday.
Yeah.
I need every Sunday. I need more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, seems like there's some way or another that the bucket's got a hole in it. Why is it this way? Because we face all of the things out here in this old world, all the pollutions and all of the abuses and all the coming against us of this old world system, this antichrist system that is against God and against His Christ. We engage in a warfare and a battle, and we continuously need that only we can receive in the divine worship service of the Lord. We need our times of devotion and prayer and our meditations upon the Lord, but that does not substitute, that does not take the place, and I'll stand by this statement, in the divine worship service, you receive that, you are blessed with that you can't receive anywhere else. else in any other form, shape, or fashion. Amen. The Lord has so designed it. The Lord has designed the coming together of His people. We can see all the way through the principle of it through God's Word, of a coming together of folks of like mind and faith to worship God together collectively. Yes, we serve the Lord individually, and we should worship Him in a personal way, but the Bible teaches a collective of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the assembly of the saints, in the congregation of Israel of old. Amen. Where the people come together and called on the name of the Lord and worship the Lord in unity and in faith, and they experience something there that they didn't experience anywhere else.
Right.
Didn't experience it in any other way, in any other form, in any other fashion. So, and the Bible says that when this was taking place, while the Lord was transfigured, while His deity, amen, was permeating, while His glory shining was coming through, amen, and manifesting on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was to the fullness or to as He was before. I believe that when Christ, amen, was raised from the dead, He was glorified. He prayed on the night before His crucifixion, "The hour has come. Father, now glorify Thy Son." Well, I tell you, there did come a time, amen, when the Lord, in all of His brightness and all of His glory, amen, that it did come forth and shine forth again. Even after His resurrection, there still had to be some veiling when He appeared unto them, or they would not have been able to have withstood it. They wouldn't have been able to have stood in the presence of the Lord. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe when He went back to glory and He was received, and as He went back through, and as the psalmist, as the prophecy was, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle, a victorious, triumphant Savior. He did make that exodus from this earth. Let me say this while I'm on that. We read in one of the other Gospels there when Moses and Elijah talked with Him, that they talked to the Lord about His decease that He should accomplish at Jerusalem. That decease from the same word, which means Exodus, just like the second book in your Bible, Exodus. I tell you, an exit, just like the children of Israel, they made an exodus, or they made an exit out of Egypt. When they made an exodus out of Egypt, the Bible says in another place in Psalms that there wasn't a feeble one among them. Now you can take that for whatever you want, amen, but I tell you, folks, I believe, amen, that had to be in the working of the divine providence of Almighty God, amen, that there wasn't a feeble one among them. And I tell you this, when they exited Egypt, it was a victorious, triumphant exit. It was a victorious exit. Oh, that's the same way with the decease of our Lord Jesus Christ. His exodus in death, it was triumphant, it was victorious. But greater than that, He was resurrected. There was an exodus out of death, and then there was an exodus, amen, out of this old world when He ascended back to sit down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. And when He went back, as somewhere as He went out of their sight and was received up into a cloud, I tell you, all of His glory, all of His deity burst forth. And when He went back through the portals of glory, He went back shining brightly than ever before, ever since He left, amen, the portals of glory. Thank God forevermore,
amen,
of the victorious workings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There appeared Moses. There appeared Elijah. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. And the disciples there, they were awakened out of a deep sleep, and they saw through sleepy eyes, they saw this manifestation, they saw these three, and they understood, I believe, by revelation, amen, of who these men were, of Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord. And Peter said, Lord, it's good to be here. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, when the Lord appears and when His glory appears in the midst of His gathered together people, it's a good place to be. Oh, it's good to be here. It's a wonderful place to be when the Lord manifests His smiling face. Oh, there's nothing like it. Oh, but to be in that type of presence, and there it was. They beheld and they saw Moses and Elijah, and Peter was so moved. And them saying, Lord, it's good to be here. If thou will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Amen. A bright cloud overshadowed them. Amen. I believe the them there is not only those three witnesses, but that cloud overshadowed Moses and Elijah. Yeah. Amen. It wasn't about Moses and Elijah. Amen. Here now is the fulfillment of the law. Here's the fulfillment of the prophets. Moses had prophesied back over in Deuteronomy about their coming forth. A great prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Moses is prophesying and talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in Isaiah chapter 40 that Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied and foretold of the coming of Elijah. Amen. We know John the Baptist fulfilled that. John the Baptist fulfilled the coming of Elijah. And so here now, Elijah, the one that is considered the chief of the prophets, the most talked about prophet in the Old Testament, if you please. The man that was translated, the man that didn't see death, and now he is here and the apostles see him. Oh, what great proof. What great assurance they must have had. Amen. They needed this. They needed this. Because it would be some days, wouldn't be too long, amen, until their Lord and Master Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and then they would be there to carry out that the Lord had given them in that office of apostle. And that's why Peter is saying these words that I read to you, of these things that we've preached to you. They're not fables. They're not cunningly devised fables. They're not fairy tales. They're not something made up. We've experienced these things. We've seen these things. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful that is. Oh, and so when Peter says, build these tabernacles in this cloud, overshadowed all of them, overshadowing Moses and Elijah. And then the voice came out of the cloud in verse 5 of Matthew 17, which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God says, now get your attention off of Moses and off of Elijah. Get your attention on my Son, who's the fulfillment of Moses, who's the fulfillment of Elijah. The law and the prophets, they came together in Christ. Amen. The law and the prophets were under John, but now it's the gospel of the kingdom preached, and every man presseth into it. Oh, so the voice from heaven once again, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear him. Hear what he's telling you. It's the consummation of Moses and Elijah. All that Moses represented and all that Elijah represented comes together in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus alone. So when the cloud was gone, when the dust was settled, when it's all said and done, here's Jesus. Jesus. And that He's the focal point. He's the one that we're to look to. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Why then say they, the scribes, that Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not." He's talking about John.
Yeah.
"But have done unto him whatsoever they listed," whatever they pleased. "Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that He spake unto them of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
They done to John the Baptist. Elijah did come. And now they will do to me. Oh, thank God for that Mount of Transfiguration experience and that great witness, that great revelation, that great revealing whereby the apostles, Peter, James, and John, were most surely assured of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And praise God, we have it recorded. And we have the witness of the Spirit within us that bears witness with this account. The Spirit of God will bear witness with the Word of God. Yes. God bless you this morning. We certainly appreciate. We appreciate what the elder brought forth, and appreciate your good and kind order and attention today.